give a break every hour or so. So I will not pass the show. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want to go over at Tzav Bali Chayim. To me, this is just pure oneg. So I'll begin with slichos. Now, I assume you're familiar that the term slichos itself essentially is a tefillah for forgiveness. It's very interesting. Why is it called slichos? Why is it not called tefillos? And the answer is partially because our interest is to ask Hashem for kapara, for expiation, for atonement. Even the word slichos is of later origin. And the Gaonim, if you look in the literature of the Gaonim, they speak about a maimed slichos veritzoi. That's the lashon that's used by the Gaonim. They speak of an assembly of slichos where people get together and get together to ask Hashem for forgiveness. The makor of slichos, as you probably know, is already mentioned by the tour, by the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there's a well-known Gemara in the context and the following upon the heels of the Cheva Egel, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do in Pasuk Kisisa? Of course, he asked Hashem for forgiveness. He asked Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael. We say this pasuk, this is a very famous pasuk in the Slichos. Vayavar Hashem al ponav vayikra. Usually the Shnat Tzibur, he waits for the Tzibur to say it, and then he says it, and then out loud everyone says, Yigil Mido Shavachanim. Hashem Hashem kelachim v'chanim. And that's what you have in front of you, as you can see. But the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara points out, it's a chazal, Omer Rav Yechon, Ilmoli Mikro Kosu, V'yev Shola Omro. Had the pasuk not expressed it, it would sound like blasphemy. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Melame, She Nis'atef HaKodesh Baruch Hu Kishirat Tzibur. Ribbono Shel Olam was Nis'atef. I'll take one of those too. The Ribbono Shel Olam was Nis'atef Kishirat Tzibur. I didn't get to this yet, this will be in a little while. Hashem, right now you have just the sheet I gave you in front of you, that's what you
did.
Is there another one?
Is there another more? Two.
This one.
Good. I have sleepless.
Okay, you can look at it. No, but this highlights the contrast between the two.
I can get the other one.
No, that's
not good. Could you pause for a second? Could you pause that? Oh, one second. Maybe I have one or two more.
There's two packets. There's one sheet and a pack of beer. That's what I have.
Oh, another
one?
It's
called Rabbi Shalom.
That. Balame Shenisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishrei HaTzibur. What did Ribbono Shel Olam do? He was misatev. What does it mean, misatev? Hashem wrapped himself in the talis. The way Kishrei HaTzibur wrapped himself in the talis. Hashem's talis was the Amud HaOnan. He was enveloped by the Amud HaOnan, by the cloud. And the Gemara says, Veherolo Moshe Seder HaTfilos. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the Seder HaTfilos. Omalo, Kozman Shem Yisrael, Chotim, as long as Klal Yisrael sin, Yasu Lufana Kisedur Azeh Vani Em Cholot. That Hashem said, this is Gemara Daf Yizayin of Abayz in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem said that as long as Klal Yisrael sin, I'm going to show them a Seder HaTfilah, which they will invoke, which they'll utilize, and I will forgive them. This is the Mokar for the Minhog of saying Slichos. Moshe Rabbeinu was not only taught by Hashem how to recite Slichos, but Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem literally demonstrated Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishrei HaTzibur. So many have a minhag that in the course of saying slichos, they enwrap themselves in the talis. Ituf Rosh. Rav Soloveitchik once said a whole shiur. When Ituf Rosh is required, an entire 3-4 hour shiur, when do we have the concept of Ituf Rosh? So I'll just, by way of giving you insight into that, when is Ituf Rosh required? Ituf Rosh means Lehisate, the bracha that we say in the morning on the talis, is Asher Kiddushon, it's also the Sivan of the Hisati Batzitzis. And you have to wrap yourself. Atifas Yishmaelim. The Gemara describes what Atifas Yishmaelim is. It's not so readily clear in the Poskim. The big machon is exactly how to go about doing it. But what's critical is Ituf. Ayin Tes Vav Pei. Lehisate. To enwrap yourself. To envelop yourself. So when is Ituf Rosh required? So I'll give you a number of examples when we had Ituf Rosh. I'm now sort of giving you an aside. A-S-I-D-E. It's not directly the topic, but it's very relevant. Tefillah. Tefillah requires Ituf Rosh. There are people like Rabbi and Rabbi Yeshiva who are misatef in Tai Davin. They wear the talis over their head in Tai Davin. It's a bach. And the reason for that is, there's a Rashi in Shabbos, the Pasuk in Tehillim. Tefillah lo'ani ki yatov v'nei Hashem yishmach sichah. Yatov, what does that mean? You have to have Ituf Rosh in the course of the Tefillah. So the Bach holds the entire davening You have Itov Rosh. We have Rabbein, the Beis Medrash, you may see those that daven here that are misate the entire tefillah. Perhaps present company also is misate the entire tefillah. I am not misate the entire tefillah. My father Shalom had a certain hanhagi regarding Itov, which is based on the Kaz and other discussions in Shulchan Aruch. So I have my own hanhagi that I follow my father's Zechayim Lebracha and the Rasa Olavetche. But there's a din of Itov Rosh by tefillah. What is the idea of Itov Rosh? That one should be focused on the davening and focus one's attention on Hashem Yisbarach and not be diverted, not be distracted. That's one area of Itov Rosh. Area number two. The Rambam says in the last paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, and Rabbi Goldsmith can attest to it because he lives in Yerushalayim, HaKodesh. Other cities outside Yerushalayim, you don't see it as much. Namely, the Rambam says that people who are very pious, they will miss Atef when? On Friday night. When they go out to greet the Shabbos, Malkasa, they greet the Shabbos queen, they are miss Atef. This is a Rambam in Hilchos. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama, thank you. It's a Gemara found twice in Shas, found in Baba Kama. It's also found in Tzara Shabbos. The Gemara speaks about Ituf. Ituf, Holech, Likras, Pnei HaShabbos. So what they do is they put on the towels before Shkia, Afteitzach, because you can't make a bracha on the towels after Shkia. They put it on before Shkia, and then they remain, the Ituf. Sfaradim are very makbid about this. They have Misadim, I'm sure you see it in Yerushalayim. Much more so than in Beit Shemesh, where I live, where you don't see it as much. We have an Anglo-Saxon population, so you don't see it as much. If you want to see the Rambam, I can read it to you. Perhaps you'll bring me a Rambam, Chal Kalif. Hilchos Shabbos. Could be Chelik Beis. See if Chelik Beis has Hilchos Shabbos, probably Chelik Beis. Or Zmanim, I don't remember. Hilchos Shabbos? Is it there? Zmanim, Hilchos Shabbos, other Aleph Beis, one of the two. There should be five halakim over there.
It's in
Sharpie. Let's keep looking. We'll see Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, and we have it. Thank you. So look at the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam, the second day of Ituf. It's a very famous halacha. The Rambam calls it literally at the end of Hilchos Shabbos, and a very, as I said, it's a Rambam that I think, from what I understand, many, many people do. I read Lashon Hara Perek Lamed Halacha Beis. Ezehu Kavod, the pasuk says Yishayo, the Navi speaks about Oneg Kavod, the Kavod of Shabbos, Oneg Gdosh Hashem Mechubod, Kavod. Ezehu Kavod, the person prepares for Shabbos. Umisatek Betzitzis, Beyoshe Bekovid Rosh, Miyachel Lahakvolas Pnei Shabbos Moshe Yotzi Likras HaMelech. What does a person do? He waits longingly. He anticipates the coming of Shabbos. People look forward to Shabbos with great anticipation. I look forward to Shabbos the entire week, as I'm sure you do. The Ramban writes in Chumash, as you know, that we're Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh D'Oraisa every day of Zochus and Shabbos L'Kacho. How? By saying something at the end of Davening. Correct. But Rabbi Goldschmidt Shlita said, Hayom Yom Rishon, Hayom Yom Sheni, that's a key Mitzvah D'Oraisa of Zochus and Shabbos L'Kacho. So now the Ramban writes in Perek Lamed, Halacha Beis, that there are, the Rambam says individuals, he doesn't say specific individuals, he seems to say it's across the board, that a person is supposed to be Misati Betzitzis, V'yoshe B'Kovid Rosh, Miyachel L'Hakbolas B'nei HaShabbos, Moshe Yotzi Likras HaMelech. Just like one would go out to greet the king, Mu'utaf, with an Itov, so too one goes out to greet the Shabbos. Then the Rambam says, V'achachamim ho'yushonim ho'yimekatsim talmidei ve'er Shabbos. They would gather the Talmidim u'misatfim, the omrim bo v'netzei likras Shabbos HaMelech. That's the Lachadodi. There's a machlokes Rishonim, actually, machlokes HaPoskim, when Kabbalah Shabbos sets in. So my father was shown that a practice, which I follow as well, that my father stood up for several items. My father stood up for Mizmor Shili of HaShabbos, and my father stood up for Lachadodi, and my father stood up for Baruch Hu. Because midin of the Gemara, when the Shabbos begin with Baruch Hu. The Chadodi and Mizmor Shir came much later. I assume you're aware. But since there's a possibility that they also constitute Kabbalah Shabbos, my father, based on Poskim, Kabbalah Shabbos Bat Midah, so I stand up for the whole Chadodi. Some people only stand up for the last stanza, Bar B'Shalom, and they turn around. And some people stand up for Mizmor Shir. Also, a din of Kabbalah Shabbos, because it requires a Midah. And the Rabbi mentioned the din of Itov, a second din of Itov, besides Tefillah, that I quoted a second ago, and that was Itov. Kabbalah and Shabbos. Next, where else do you need Ituf Rosh? So there's a din, Kosher Bracha requires Ituf Rosh. Kosher Bracha, that a person has to, it's a Gemara in Brachas. It's So the briskets generally are very machmed about this. Anytime you have a kosher bracha, ras al veshek, zatzal, any single time he made kiddush, bechas erasim, bechas nesuin, anytime you kosher bracha, right away he wore his hat. He didn't need to brush. That's the Gemara. Okay, I'm not right now going into the details of this, but that's the third area of itur brush. Area number four is the Rashi in Vayechi. It's also Gemara. And it's also Rishonim. The Rishonim point out that there's Kabbalah Hashchina in the presence of a chayla. Rashi says in Vayechi, Rashi quotes this, if you remember, when Yosef took Menashe and Ephraim to visit his father, they told him, Hinei Avicha Choleh. So, Vayikach Hashinei Bonav Imos Menashe V'Sephoyim. Vayom L'Yakov, they told him, Hinei Yisrael, your son Yosef, Boi Lecha, Vayeshev Yisrael, Vayishchazik Al Yitro. So Rashi quotes over there, the din that Ein Shino, Shino is present, L'malam Rashesu Shalchei, that says Shalchonach L'Alocha, is the din Ituf. The Rav wanted to say that the common denominator of all these areas is Gilui Pnei Hashchino. Whatever the Shino is there, Tfilah, Shmoneser, the Shchino is there. Next, second example, Shabbos, of course, is Kabbalah, Shmonei Shabbos Malvisa, we are about to greet the Shchino, Likras Pnei HaMelech. Three, well, the third case, Koshel Bracha, the question where the Shchino, that needs a little drasha, not for now. Four, is what I just said, Yishol Bechela. Five, is Amishnah, Mishnayis. Mishnayis all over Shas. Mishnayis speak about when a Dayan is about to issue a Psak HaLocha, so what does the Dayan do? Misatfin. They put on their Misati Betalis, because they're called Dayan Shedon Din Eves Lamito, the word says it's Arev, Nesgil Shchino, Nasa Shutla Kodesh Bracha, Maisa Bereshis, and that's a Din Gil Shchino, just one second, and therefore, that requires Itub as well. So Shobai showed you five areas, and now we have the sixth area. This area, which is based on Slichas, Melame Shenisate Fakodesh Bracha Yishrat Tzibur. The Omel of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kozman Shehisol Choltim, Yasa Lufana Kesein Razeh Vani Emcholahem, Vani Eslachlahem. Hashem will forgive us when we invoke what? Yudgil Midr Shavachim. So now, that's what the Gemara says, that's what we say, Vayavar Hashem Alpona Vayikra, Hashem wrapped himself as in a talis. And what happened? The Yudgil Midr Shavachim are now going to be invoked. Let me just finish one more thing, if you don't mind, and then you'll speak. The Rambam says, as you probably know, I think I mentioned Hilchos Teruah there, Perek Gimel, the Rambam says that ideally, the Rambam only knows the Slichas when? During Aseres Yemei Teruah. The Rambam does not know of the Sfardi practice that they sleep with the entire Chodesh Elul, but the Rambam says very clearly, Hilchos Teruah, B'nagu Lokum Balayla. The Rambam says, when is the minhag to say Slichas? Dafka Balayla. I think I spoke about it yesterday. During these 10 days, the Rambam says, I forgot his Lashon, Batik Nesiyos, Batik Nidroshos, Hashem Yeir Hayom, till daybreak. They say Slichas, but it has to be Dafka at nighttime. It terminates at daybreak, and the Rishonim actually, I think many people say today Slichas in the morning. That's what I gather from the yeshiva and from elsewhere. And the truth of the matter is that it's probably not ideal. Let's be polite. It is not ideal to say Slichas in the morning. A number of days I did say Slichas in the morning before Amar HaShachar, which is correct. At 5 o'clock and change. I think Nate's tea days is around 6:25, 6:30. So I said Slichas after 5 o'clock, which is the correct thing to do, Bashmeres HaBoker, or at night time. And the reason for that is, as I pointed out to you, the Rambam, Slichas should be recited at night and concluded with daybreak, but as I said, it's not appropriate to say Slichas, ideally, during the day. I see here that in the last number of years, once in a while, I go to Daven Mincha Ma'ariv here in Beit Vegan, and Sfardin, there's a psak apparently, I gather of Rav Avadya Zatzal, they say Slichos right by Mincha, in the middle of the day. I guess they don't want to say it at 3 o'clock in the morning. No one wants to say Slichos at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's a little difficult. But nighttime is the most appropriate time for saying Slichos, and I'll just point out something that I said to you already the other day. I mentioned again, you should remember this. We don't say Tilim at nighttime before Chatzis. It's a Ber Hetei. I think if we say Tillim, it won't be the end of the world. I sometimes say Tillim if I'm in a straitened circumstances, I say Tillim at nighttime before Chatzis. I don't follow necessarily all the Kabbalistic positions, I'll be honest with you, but however, as I mentioned to you the other day, Ashkenazim say when? Shachris and My we say the nighttime. Svardim only say it. Shabbos in Israel. Shabbos points this out. Why is that so? Because Chassidim don't say the Dovah Hashem Ori. Svardim don't say the Dovah Hashem Ori at nighttime. Only in the morning or at Mincha. Because the Dovah Hashem Ori is from Tilim, and Tilim is not said at nighttime before Chatzai. So why is that? It says Man of Din. And you're not supposed to ask Hashem for Bakosha during his Man of Din. After Chatzos is his Man of Rachamim. Al Pi HaKabbalah. But because it's a man of Rachamim, that's what you can ask Hashem. And that's why we don't say Slichos after Chatzos, because basically, if you take a look at the Slichos and you have it in front of you, it's more or less a compilation of Psukim. And you might ask, what do you mean? The Gemara says in Erev, you know the Gemara. Gemara Daf Samaches, Gemara Erev. Libri Laila El Lagirsa. Nai was created for the purpose of learning Torah. The Gemara quotes in Nevamos, the Pasuk also in Eicha. Kumi roni balayla v'rosh ha'shmuros. Shivchi kamayin libeich noichet v'le Hashem. That Gemara says, ain't me in el Teira. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Teira, if one wants to be zechet, the kesset of Teira, you should learn Teira at night time. The Rambam says, you've got to be zechet to a tremendous enig. So this is Atzal, he had a beautiful shir on this topic of kesset of Teira, dafka at night time. So night time, till chatzais, is for libeich at Teira. Davan HaMelech, the Gemara Brachis. Got to be night time to learn Teira. And David HaMelech actually was involved studying Torah. But as far as Tehillim is concerned, the halacha is that Tehillim is of the Slichas is said after Chatzos and before Hashmaras Sabokia. That's the ideal time to say it. And as I said, this, even though it's interesting that on Tanis Sibu, the Gemara says in Tanis, they would say Slichas in the daytime. But that was part of Shmoneh Esrei. It's part of the framework of Shmoneh Esrei. And I assume you're aware of it, that the Sfaradim have extended Slichas to the whole month of Elul. The Rambam doesn't have it. The Rambam only has Slichas and Aseret Shemetshuva. It doesn't have any concept of Slichas before Aseret Shemetshuva. And I think they start saying Slichas the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Don't they, the Sfaradim? And they only, by the way, they don't have a separate text of Slichas for each day. Ashkenazim have a separate text of Slichas for each day. Sfaradim do not. What Sfaradim do is they only have one Slicha, a few piyutim, followed by Vidui, and Hashem Hashem Kevachim V'chanim. So that sort of makes it a bit easier. Although they're doing it for a month, and Ashkenazim, we're doing it for a week, a shorter period of time. But whatever the case is, again, the Slichas takes place at nighttime. And as I said, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, here the Slichas are longer. It requires several hours to complete those Slichas. However, the Minhag HaYeshiva says, Agoyin Rav Dov Miller noted it's on actually the Luach of the Ma'aracha over here downstairs. So what they do is they abbreviated the Slichos and they chose, a few fragments of the Slichos that were introduced by the Gaonim, and that's what they've done, the other Yeshivas. But there are people who say the entire, when I was a kid, we said the entire Slichos of Erev Rosh Hashanah, which took several hours to say Slichos of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Since I came to Eretz Yisrael approximately 25 years ago, so my minig is that Yibar Hashem is mezakeh me, so I say Slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah in Chevron every single year, the last 25 years. I go to Chevron, Mitzvah Shabbos, I'm going to go to Chevron, Mitzvah Hashem, and say Slichas, that's what I do, and usually you come back at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we say Slichas there around, what time is it, 12:35, 12:40, and I come back at 3 a.m. On Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's my minig. It's actually, I really should say it's my wife's minig, but I follow her. In this respect, she's always in Hebron, and in Barsa Machpelah, and in Keso, all these places, on an ongoing kind of basis. But again, I'm just introducing the idea of Slichos, which is really Tefillah Balayla. And I think, Kimat, everyone that I know, I think Ben Chassidim, Ben Ashkenazim, the first Slichos is said usually on Motzei Shabbos. I think this day, we are makrid to say it at midnight. Is that not so? I think everyone is makrid to say it at midnight. Svadim, the truth of the matter is that Chassidim especially, early in the morning hours, prior to daybreak, and that is the proper thing to do for the entire Slichas, not just for the first Motzei Shabbos Slichas. But let me just say one more thing, and then a few people wanted to say something, and I wanted to get to this first. Let me just point out the following, and this is the Yisod of Rasa Lavetche, which I think is the Yisod of Slichas. I'm just saying philosophic. Philosophic Yisod of Slichas is the following. And I'll just try to express it in a very brief kind of way. Tzvei Dinim. Everything is tzvei dinim, as you probably know by now. And there are two principles that really guide us in the entire slichus, and these principles are everywhere. On the one hand, Chazal see the Jew, human being, as being great, powerful, capable of achieving dizzying heights, with unbelievable potential that all of us have individually. We can rise to such heights that we beat Malachim. We can become Malachim. Which day, by the way, according to Chazal, one day a year we become Malachim? In Kippur. So Ramban in Chumash, the Pirkei Avot Avinu, Ramban writes in Emor very clearly, like Malachi HaShoves. And Al Pi HaKabbalah, you probably know, that man is superior to an angel. Man is way beyond a Malach. You know very well, the Rambam did not subscribe to that. The Rambam holds that Malachim are superior to men.
He also didn't have Kabbalah.
What? Okay, that I cannot even respond to that question because that will be the end of the shiur. So I can't respond to it, even though it's a very incisive comment that you just made, and it needs attention because it is almost, what term should I use? Ludicrous to think that the Rambam, who knew everything, there's nothing the Rambam did not read. Nothing he was not familiar with. You read the Rambam, all of his magnum opus, the Mishnah Torah. You read the entire Mor Nebuchim. You read all the letters of the Rambam. You read all the truths of the Rambam. You read anything the Rambam wrote, and you're astounded by his incredibly vast, gargantuan knowledge. For example, necromancy. Rambam's a bucky in necromancy. There's not an Avodah Zarah in the world Rambam didn't know about. So how is it possible he had this gargantuan knowledge in every single area? Every single area of knowledge that was known to human beings. Medicine, Rambam was a doctor. Massive knowledge of medicine, of his time, obviously, here. Necromancy, idolatry, sorcery, the occult, witchcraft, everything. And he didn't know Kabbalah. I'll just share with you one little vignette. One. But this needs massive attention. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah does not at all live aura. That's what Yonah is saying correctly. Doesn't seem to be aware of anything Kabbalistic. By the way, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a great Mekubo, in Shulchan Aruch itself, there's combined no, very few oblique references to Kabbalah. There are a few, but very, very few. The Rambam came out nothing. So you made a statement, which of course has to be examined very carefully. But let me just tell you one vignette, which is very relevant. There's a sefer called Shem Amunim Kadmai, Rabbi Yosef Irgas. It's an introduction to Kabbalah. Many years ago, I had a shul interest to find out what is going on over there. I am a complete and total amoris, and the asek with the staros. I don't have a clue what's going on in Kabbalah. The Rav used to quote very often sections of the Tanya by heart, sections of the Likutei Torah by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, by the Baal Tanya, by heart, baal peh, mila b'mila. It was absolutely zany. And Zoyar is the quote, unbelievable. He was very, very well versed in Kabbalah. I don't have any clue. I'm clueless in that area of Kabbalah. Totally. So, now the question is, the Rambam Shita I just mentioned, so this vignette. I bought this sefer decades ago, Shem Emunah and Kadmo, and I go through the sefer. I didn't really understand it. It's all introduction to Kabbalah. It quotes the following story. The Rambam, at the end of his life, meets a Zokin. And the Zokin tells him, I'm going to teach you Kabbalah. The Rambam learns Kabbalah. And then the Rambam, after he finishes learning Kabbalah, he makes the following statement. Had I known this before I wrote the Mishnah Torah, I'd have rewritten the entire Mishnah Torah. What a statement. I quickly run to Rav Soloveitchik in Boston with this statement. He was aware of it. I didn't tell him any chidushim. What does he say about this story? Balderdash. Pure balderdash. To say that the Rambam would have rewritten the entire Mishnah Torah, which was his magnum opus, his whole life, his major accomplishment, had he known Kabbalah? What kind of a statement is that? Okay, the reason why I say this is because to respond to your statement would take me 3 days. And I've looked into the matter. But it's very, very difficult for a simple fellow like me, who is has seen a few Rambams in his lifetime, to think that the Rambam was not aware of Kabbalah. He doesn't seem to be aware of it. If you look at the Mishnah Torah and the Truz Rambam, the Igos Rambam, and all the other writings of the Rambam, we don't seem to have any reference to it. But the Rambam has a Shita, which is probably against all the Rishayim. Namely, against the Mekubalim. The Mekubalim assumed Dava Poshet, that man is superior to a Malach. Ain't Malach Daber. You read the Rambam, and you say the Torah, you come to the Maskana, that Malachim are superior to men. Wow. It's Mavish against the Yisod of the Chachmei Chazal, or Chachmei HaKabbalah. And the reason, by the way, even Alpi Nigla, you understand that a Malach has no Bechira. A Malach has no free will. He's a Shaliach, has to carry out the Ratzon Hashem, and that's it. He's not given much choice. And a human being has Bechira. That's the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, as you know. Rambam devotes several prokim to Bechira Chavshis. So, on the contrary, man was created with Tzelem Elokim, has something divine in him, and man is capable of coming close to the Bar Yehuda. We're capable of literally coming close to Hashem is Barach. And therefore, we know that, no question, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, there were many, many great, great tzaddikim who were far superior to angels. HaGoy Namoshe Feinstein Zatzal was a Malach Hashem's focus himself, way beyond any angel. So that's on the one hand. Again, going back to the Tzvei Din. So this is the dialectic of what Slichus is founded on. Namely, on the one hand, what a human being could reach, the potential is dizzying heights. Mitzat Sheni, man is a low and worthless being. Not only is he physically weak, not only is he physically helpless, he's often corrupt, he's often cruel, he's often indifferent, he often, Rachmanu Litzlan, does all types of things that are absolutely sordid in nature. So, on the one hand, Yadus, we believe that man is exalted. Asalvesi was very fond of quoting from the Kotzke. The Kotzke, you heard the Kotzke, the Kotzke Rebbe, Yadmor Mikotz, he said, I have two pockets. In one pocket it says, the Ramban quotes is a chumish, and gracious, and the Apostle got tzel malokim, but the chasreyu me'at melokim, the chobot v'hodot tiatreyu. On the one hand, man can reach unbelievable heights. A little bit below Hashem is Barach. On the other hand, what does it say in the other pasuk? Anochi ofa va'efer, I'm but dust. So, if you know the famous Chazal, the Medrash, maybe says Zocha, Oymim loy kadam to malachi hasharis. If a man is Zocha, we say you have, you're before malachi hasharis, it's appeared to an angel. Loy Zocha, Oymim loy zvuv kadmach. What do we tell him? If you're not Zocha, a mosquito is superior to you. So, what do we see? Tzvei dinim. These tzvei dinim are very much reflected in the slichas, and I'll show you this in a few moments. I can't spend the whole time on this, but this is very critical to understand the nature of what we are saying these days. Because one could ask, is slichas an optimistic philosophy of man, or is it a pessimistic philosophy of man? And of course, what's the answer? Both. Tzvei dinim. And at the end of the day, it's totally on us.
Why do people sing and dance after?
What was that?
Why do people sing and dance after sleepless?
Is that found in Rambam? Is that found in the Tur, in the Geinim? Is that found in the Poskim who speak about Slichos? All that people do today is, to a large extent, is all, you have to be polite. You're using strong language. I'm trying not to use strong language. It has no makor whatsoever. And true makor is run elul. What the world does today to a large extent has nothing to do with what? It's a function of. Okay, right. It's a function of how people want to be able to connect Hashem is Barach and all that. So it's fine. I have nothing against it. Another isu b'davar. Is it what people should be doing? Is it the ideal? I don't think it's mentioned by. I generally try to follow. I'm a very strict constructionist regarding halacha. I don't do things like some people do because they enjoy doing it. That to me is not, it's very nice and dandy. It has nothing to do with halacha. Let them first observe every din, every jot and tittle of boyer and bishul, and then we can talk about singing and dancing after slichos. Until they do that, I'm not sure. Again, you might say the two are mutually exclusive. Maybe they are, perhaps they are, perhaps they're not. I'm not sure. I'm a terrible litvak. So my father, Av Hashem, taught me to follow halacha down to every jot and tittle, down to every last nekuda, and that's what I do. And that to me is more important than Hashem's Baruch's eyes, but people like to do what makes them happy. We want to be happy. I think I told you that in my former shul where I davened, he used to daven. He used to daven another very beautiful Baal Tefillah, the second day of Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah. And I davened the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so the shul said the following. The first day, you know who davens? The Rav who davens? Fire and brimstone. That's how Hashiva Torah Shraga davens. That's my Masayah, fire and brimstone. I'm poshering, I'm sittering in the presence of Hashem Barach. For obvious reasons, given my nature, given my very lowly nature, what am I supposed to do? Re'ami Dosenu Dal and Rekin. That's where I'm holding. I'm a Dal and a Rekin. The second day, the person who davens, a beautiful voice, they call him Happy Clappy. Because he is singing Nigunim from here to I don't know where. Murray Dick and Nigunim. He's really a beautiful Balm. He's similar to Rabbi Miller's son, also has a lot of Nigunim, which he introduces into. He's sort of like a mix of both of the classic. I'm all Nusach. I follow the Nusach that I heard when I was a little kid. By the time I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I heard Balabatim Daven and Rosh Hashanah Kippur Mitzchel. They daven with tears. Tailors and plumbers, Schneiders and... what was that? I don't mean Avi Schneider. I mean Schneiders, those who are tailors. And Yiddish, the word for tailors are Schneider. Anyway, so these people daven for the oven with their entire... I never saw anything like it. It went right through my bones, and that's what I grew up on. So that's how I daven. So the answer, of course, is how is it possible to have such a stira? Fire and brimstone versus happy clappy. What's the answer? It's Vedina. I said to Rabbi Silberman, Shlita, we have two Rabbi Silbermans in this Beis Medrash, Rabbi Silberman of Ar Yeshiva. So I told him the other day, we discussed the issue of Vidui Maisev, found in Kisava. Of course, the Rishonim asked, why is it called Vidui? The Gemara says in Soita, it's Shevach, I'm patting myself on the back. I say to Hashem is Baruch, wow, I'm a good boy. Biarti HaKodesh Menah Bayis. וגם נסעתי ללבי, לגר, ליוסי ולאלמונו, ככל מצווה שלך, שרצי ביסוני. לא עברתי ממצווה שלך, ולא ישוחו חיתי, שונו. לא אכלתי ואיני ממנו, לא ביארתי ממנו בתומי, לא נסעתי ממנו למה, שמעתי בכל השם הלכו, יסי, צריך לשרצי ביסוני. I pat myself in the back. I was, בעבר לחסים, that's how I said, I bask in my own self-refulgence. Hashkifa mimayin koshka ben ha-shamayim. Uvarech ha-sam ches Yisrael. Ve'yis ha-adam ha-shem ha-sat alonu. Ke'ashe nishbata al-hosein ha-eret zom ha-schol ha-vidvash. So why is it called Vidui? So Rav Soloveitchik said to answer this kasha, also a massive shiur that he gave on this topic. What is Vidui? He said when he was in Poland, you know how they said Vidui? Mitzcheren. With tears. With tears. We lament what we did. We lament our behavior. When we were 16, 17, 15, 14, 13, I'm using you. In my case, it's many more years after that. But you now, Baruch Hashem, you came to Hakara. So now, from now on, you're all going to be tzaddikim. The other two, Yerushalayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. So, tears. He comes to Germany. You know how they say Vidui in Germany? They're marching triumphantly. So I said, what is going on here? They're marching triumphantly with a sing-song kind of thing. I said, well, how is this possible? And we know that Maser in Germany is a Maser going back. Atikas Yomim. So the Lord said, Tzvei Dinim. What are the Tzvei Dinim? Said the word Vidui has two translations. Vidui means to confess. That's the Vidui of Poland. Tcheren, tears. What's the Vidui of Germany? The Vidui of Germany is to confide in Hashem's Baruch. Vidui, confess or confide. Take Hashem as a friend. Rashi quotes in Chumash. Rashi said, Tuas Melech Boy, the Pasha over there in Karach, Reuso Shakalim Bochum, the Rebbe Hashem becomes my friend. He becomes Amdovet Hashem et Bach. Or as Asalechi used to say, I'm going to have a romance with Hashem et Bach. We will go on a date together. The Rebbe Hashem and I. He's going on a date with the Rebbe Hashem. When I first heard that, I thought there was something that was... But after a period of time, after a fair number of years, he was literally on a date with the Rebbe Hashem, like 24/7. B'li Hesach Hadas. So that's Vidui. So what is Vidui? I'll tell you what Vidui is. The way I'll tell you is just saying, Shcheira Nivinovo B'Noisi Yerushalayim. I think the expression is black is beautiful. There was a whole to-do about this a year or two ago. Let's not get into it right now. But what does it mean, black is beautiful? On the one hand, I'm black. I'm makir, hakara sachet. I know my lowly situation. I know where I'm holding. I know how I behave. But on the other hand, I also recognize I have the ability to rise up. I have the ability to reach incredible heights. Shreya ani benova. So the vidur that was said in Poland reflects the shreya. The vidur that was said in Germany reflects the nova. Tvei dinim in vidur. And that's why it's called vidur meiser. Where it says in Seite, it's sheva to Hashem is barach. Not only do I confess, but I bring Hashem is barach after the confession. I confide in him. He becomes my closest chaver. So obviously say, I'm learning a black gemara at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm stuck at a shvera rashi, a shvera thesis, and I don't know what to do, and I crack my brains to understand what is going on over here, and it is 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and I beg the Ribbono Shel Olam, help me, give me siyata d'shmaya to understand the rashi thesis, Rambam. And at 5 a.m., suddenly, there's a blitz. A light goes on. Wow! As I'm shouting Rashi, I understand Rashi. And Tesis. So, vidui, there are two elements to it. One to confess, and one to confide. Tzvei dinim. Shreira, nova. There's a Rashi that Rav used to quote. Another shir. I'm really off the topic. Another shir. There's a Rashi, you know the Rashi, by Kiyo Bekano. So Rashi says, the women in Mitzrayim, I don't know if I can quote the entire Rashi, their husbands were Avedas Perech, back-breaking labor. So what did they do, the women? They had to be Mechazim, the husbands. I won't go through the whole thing. So they adorned themselves, they were miskashet to make themselves attractive to the husbands. What is going on here? Sounds like it's a hard business. No! Okay, I'm not going to go into the whole interpretation. Okay, back to the notion of slichas. So now, basically, slichas had in it these two elements. On the one hand, it's based on the worthlessness of man, the fact that we are lonely, we are helpless, we are not functioning, we can sink to the lowest level. That's one element of slichas. But now, you'll notice that there's another element of slichas. That's what I'm going to show you right now. Mitzvah Hashem, the slichas. Maybe we'll just try to do it very quickly. If you have a slichas in front of you, you will see what I'm referring to. Look at the Hagdama, the slichas, and this, everyone knows this tefillah. The loved one sang it in Shia. I sing it also, but you don't have my nigunim. You probably sing it the way the happy clappy fellow sings it. You know what happened? I think I told Rabbi Goldstein this. I don't mention his name now because of what I'm about to say. He once sang on the Santa Teke with a happy clappy kind of diggin, and the Rav, the older Rav who spoke to me yesterday, the Telza, so he told me he wanted to take a gun and shoot him, but he couldn't because it says like Sirtzach and it's Yom Tov, and there's several problems because he sang with the Santa Teke in Azar Efe Kidusha Asayom Kihu La 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 Neirobe Oyom. So I was also present. I didn't want to shoot him. I wanted to pulverize him and eviscerate him and expunge him from the mat. Afkov Nusach. Not only that, Afkov, but the entire field is all about. But I said nothing because I'm chilled out. So look what it says here in the introduction. The introductory tefillah to slichas. What do we say? Mani soine, man neima, gay, mani daver, mani stado. We have nothing to say. Why do we have nothing to say? Because what are we? Low, low, down. We're always. We're at the bottom of the totem pole. But thank God, Yimin Chapshuta, the Kabbal Shom, Hashem's hands are out to accept our tshuva. We continue. Towards the end, I'm not going to go through this whole thing because this has a number of motifs. There are a mixture of motifs here, but really, the part that I'm very into. Many people sing it. I think they have a niggun. Hanasham Aloch. How do they sing it? That's actually a very nice niggun. I think it does reflect a little bit this Hanasham Aloch.
Guy in room David Miller.
Okay. You know what does that mean? Look at our what? Spiritual position, destitute and empty-handed. That's what we say. Continue. Ha-neshama. Rachmanus on your labor, have Rachmanus on your labor. So essentially what we have over here is, and if you remember in the Shilos of Nasan Togi, which I hope to get to probably about 3 days from now, there we say also Odom Yisoyde Me'ofar V'soyfei Le'ofar. So that gentleman sang it also with a happy clappy niggun. I don't think that's a happy clappy thing, as far as I know. Because what do we compare to? Mashul kecheres hanishbar, like a broken fragment of a clay utensil. Kechatzir yavesh, that's in the, you have this on the ticket. I think I gave it to you in this, yes, here. You have this on this page, these few pages? When I was 7 or 8 years old, I knew the entire tefillah of Rosh Hashanah Kibat Palpet. 7 or 8 years old.
I think I knew what Rosh Hashanah was, etc.
That is the difference between your upbringing and my upbringing. Anyway, the kids are, I don't mean to Chas V'Shalom speak against your upbringing, but it was a different, you grew up in a different situation, different circumstances, not your fault. But look over here in the middle. The paragraph, Shimcha came to Lasecha. It says, Moshul Kecheres HaNishbar.
Where are we looking?
In the tefillah of the Sanat Togah, which you have right here on this page. With the paragraph, Yishimcha came to Lasecha. I'm going to analyze this tefillah for you. It will take me a few hours, but that may take the whole shiur. I don't know what to do myself now. I'm still on the solutions involved right now. It says here, Odom Yisaydi Be'ofar. You see that? Be'sayfa Le'ofar. We come from Ofar, and we're going back to Ofar. B'nafshe Yomi Lachma, Moshul Kecheres HaNishbar. We're like a broken... That's a bracha de kli, like a broken fragment of a clay utensil. Kechatzir yavesh, like wheat, which dried out, desiccated. Uketzitz novel, ketzel over, like a cloud that passes. Ka'af parech, like a bird that gets lost in flight. And v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. So what are we describing? This element of human being that we are down, we're low. That's what we're describing. All right, Goldschmidt Shliti, now I sing it. Not in a happy, clappy kind of way. I have a niggun from the time I'm 5 years old. Adam, Yisoydoy me'afar, Yisoyfa de'afar. That's how I sing it, in a much more somber kind of fashion, reflecting what the feel is all about. As opposed to singing and dancing at the slichas. I'm not against it. It's all good. I'm chilled out.
Sound like you're very pro.
What did he say?
It sounds like you're pro.
You got it. You know me well. So, on the one hand, going back now to the double theme of slichas, on the one hand, you have, as I said, this element of a human being being corrupt, being contaminated. But on the other hand, as I said, there's no question that Chazal were very optimistic about the human being, that his ability to correct his way of behavior. And therefore, the Slichas also reflects that as well. Let me just show you, if you look in the, if you have, I don't know if I want to go through the entire Slichas now. Actually, I Xeroxed a number of pieces of it, but I'm not going to because I want to get to the Adabim, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur as well. But just to show you one or two elements in the Slichas, which I assume you're probably familiar with. The Slichas also has in it, if you look at that first paragraph that you begin, Shomea Tfilo. You look over there, please, if you don't mind. If I were to summarize the components of Slichas, I would tell you what they are. the components of slichus, to my mind, are four. There are four elements of slichus. You have the slichus, you can actually see it. Element number one is the compilation of psukim at the beginning of slichus and the end of slichus. You see what I'm talking about? All these psukim that are quoted in literally the very beginning, which is Shomea Tfilah, Elokah Hashem Atzdokah, that's part one. That's also found at the end of slichus. Many, many psukim. Number two, second element that's found in slichus, which also I think is quite significant, and I assume you're familiar with it, Yud Gimel Midah Shavachamim. That's really probably the epicenter of what slichus are all about. Yud Gimel Midah Shavachamim are very critical. Not only is it critical, but it's probably the very centerpiece of what slichus are all about, namely vidui. Because without vidui, there's no slichus. I should point out that most people have, how many times is Hashamnu mentioned in the slichus? Three times. The Goyim held, only one time vidui should be said. I followed the Minhag Yagro, so I said it only one time. I think here also in the yeshiva, they followed Minhag Yagro, they said it only one time. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. But again, I just point out to you the beginning, if you look at the beginning, that introductory element, so it's already mentioned, this is not my chiddush, it's found already in great. The early Poskim point out that the entire slichos is patterned after Shmoneh Esrei. How's that so? At the beginning of slichos has in it essentially, our salvation once said a whole shir on this. Mind-boggling shir. What does the Gemara say in brachas? You start with Shemach. The first three brachas are Avos, Magen Avraham, two, Gvuros, Mechaya Mason, three, Okel HaKodesh. That's found right here, the beginning of slichos. In the beginning of slichos, that first paragraph, by the way, of course we start with Ashrei, because we know every tefillah begins with Ashrei. The Tosfos writes in brachas, Lama tefillah b'tech divrei Torah. That's how we begin the Shemoneh Esrei, with Ashrei. And then we start, take a look at the slichos, Shomea tefillah, Odechla, you have a compilation of psukim, but primarily what these psukim talk about? Shevach HaVashem. Rom HaShem Elokeinu. Take a look. Kel Naretz, B'Sei Kedoshim, Rabba, Neira Kol Sviva, and on and on and on. It speaks about how Hashem created the depths of the earth. Yodu Shamayim Pilach HaShem. Ata Farata Vaz Chayam, Shibat Rosh Hashanah Malamoyim. Ata Yitzapta Kogulos Oretz. Godel HaShem Hulam Oretz. It's all Shevach. It represents the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. That's what you have. Ashrei, first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. And then, as I said, you have also, in the middle, you have the second element, which I told you, is part of Yud Gimel Midos. And you have in the middle, of course, Yud Gimel Midos. What else do you have? In the middle of that slichas, you have Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, which of course parallels which bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. And then you have subsequently, at the end, what do you have? As I said, again, psukim, and then tachon.
Which is considered to be the third section?
Third section is, they call it the Bakosha section, the middle section, Shomea Tefillah, Anenu, the whole section, which
usually
has a lot of Bakosha.
What
was that?
Vidui, you categorize them the same as you give them.
Yeah. Gimel Vidui Shavachim is Vidui, that's what it is. And then at the end, you have also, as I said, Tachanu, which ends the Shemoneh Esrei. So it's more or less the skeletal structure is the structure of the frame of the Shemoneh Esrei. And the Rosh Hashanah once proved this in a very lengthy shir. I can't go through it now. He wanted to show you can actually see in the first tefillah, this lengthy tefillah, three brachas. He proved it. You can see those three brachas in that tefillah. I want to mention something else, which is also a tremendous chiddush. The Baalei HaSlichus did something very, very questionable. They took psukim and converted them from the Lashon Yochid to the Lashon Rabbi. For example, Hashem Boker Tishma Koleinu, Boker Naruch Lecha Nitzape. How does the pasuk in Tehillim go? I think it's Perek Hey. Hashem Boker Tishma Koleinu, Boker Erech Loch Va'atzape. Or in Shma Koleinu, better example. Al tashlichenu milfanecho beruach kod shecha tikach mimenu. How's the pasuk saying to him? Al tashlichenu milfanecho beruach kod shecha tikach mimenu. So you say, Mr. Kasha, how could you go ahead and take a pasuk that's in Melosh Yochid and put it in Melosh Rabbi? So many Rishonim rejected this change. So one second, let me just finish the point. There's a tshuva of the Tashbeitz that I'll let you refer to. Tashbeitz is one of the Gdolei Rishonim. Shimshim Metzemach Durai. He has very famous Jumas, and he actually defends the practice. And actually, what's interesting that he offers a proof, which is yesh v'zeh makom ladun, and this whole proof that he brings. But apparently, what did Chazal have in mind, and what is the nature of these tefillos? The answer is that Chazal, in effect, had something in mind. What did they have in mind? Chazal had in mind that it should be a tefillos rabbi. It should not be a tefillah of a yochim. It's a tefillah of a rabbi, because the Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mois B'tefillos of Shabbat, the Gemara Baruch Hu Tavches. And we know that tefillah B'tzibur is always accepted. That's why we have to daven B'tzibur. We have to try our best to daven Dafka B'tzibur. And again, we're not allowed to go ahead and even, for example, the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei can't have bakosha. You know, the minhag is the real minhag, which we don't follow today. Asalechi mentioned this, but I saw Rav Tites, Rav Pinchas Tites, that Sal was also makbid about it. In Europe, I heard from Rav Tites that in the Chazar Sashats, when we have those insertions, Zochen v'l'chayim, Micha Mecha, the Tzibur never said it. Because now I'll say bakosha in the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So the Rav also did not say it in the Chazar Sashats. I think the minhag of most people is to say it, they even sing it.
Is
what? That's correct. That's the correct minhag. And Yerushalayim called minhag Yagruah. The guy was makbid not to do that. So we've done a number of things that are incorrect. Why? I can't tell you why. I don't know why. I only know that the entire Shemoneh Esrei, the slichas, is patterned after Shemoneh Esrei, and that's why it's very significant that we, Absalachi held, you have to stand for slichas. Ad today, with one's feet together, Adin Shemoneh Esrei. I don't think anyone does that. Plus, there's a din of Ituf. He was not going to Ituf Rosh in Shemoneh Esrei as well. But that's based on the Gemara I quoted to you earlier. Malamish and Sadra goes broke to Shirat Sibor. Calls my chair, so called to me, Asal Fana, Kazer Azeb, and I am Cholem. Let me just finish my whole point over here. And to a large extent, the Slichas has also a fair number of Piyutim. We're very into Piyutim. We means not our generation, but the previous generation. I grew up on Piyutim. Rasalechik said, without Piyutim, there's no Kedusha Sayyid. So what have we done today? Eliminated all Piyutim. We dance and sing after Slichas, but we eliminated all Piyutim. So the Piyutim, don't mind my comments from the peanut gallery. They're just trying to get something across to you. I think you probably got it by now. The one who really introduced most of Piyutim is Avolah Zakaliyah. Avolah Zakaliyah, the Tesis writes in Chagiga, I know, I didn't forget you yet, but I'm very long-winded, as you probably noticed. Avolah Zakaliyah is one of the Tanoim, according to Tesis of Chagiga. And he introduced many, many Piyutim. You know, Ibn Ezra, the Pasuk Kehelis, has many tiny of Avolah Zakaliyah. The Pasuk says in Kehelis, Elohim Bashamayim Biata Al Oretz, Hashem is up there, and we are little putty a man down here. Al Ken Yud Varechem Atim. You better close your trap. Don't say too much. Meirav Dvorim Al Tech Dal Pesha. So he attacks Avolah Zakaliyah. Ibn Ezra, long, long attack in his Pesha Kehelis. I assume he studied Chumash Megillus with Ibn Ezra. Anyway, so a long attack on Avolah Zakaliyah. He doesn't know Dikto. And he wrote so many piyutim. By the way, it was very fascinating. He probably lived in the 5th or 6th century, right after the Chasimus HaTalmud. But there's even a suggestion he was one of the Tanoim. But whatever the case is, Avolah Zakaliyah wrote many, many piyutim. His piyutim were integrated into the machzor. If you look at old machzor, you know what the Oscar does now? They took all the piyutim out of the machzor and put them in the back. Ki'ilu, there's someone left who says these piyutim. Ki'ilu. I imagine those people who dance and sing after slichas, they probably say the piyutim. Anyway, so when Tosfos speaks about piyutim, so the impression you have from Tosfos is that these piyutim were introduced thousands of years ago. That's the impression you have. And why are Tosfos called piyutim? He wants to resolve halachic issues. That's what he uses piyutim. The Rav thought the piyutim have halachic authority, halachic substance. He examined piyutim and saw Eshvi. Was examined 6 hours by our Soloveitchik. Every Bava Chibor was examined. Of course, I was present. But anyway, Neicha. As my brother would say, Neicha. It's Neicha.
Meidedik.
So we enjoyed Piyutim. I didn't finish with you yet. They give me 2 more minutes. I keep saying that. We enjoyed Piyutim. Piyutim become part of our literature, our vocabulary. you know, I looked at this Fadi Marxism many years ago. Because there's a certain Rebbe in our yeshiva would like me to be connected to them. So I look at the Sfadim Machzor, they don't have a lot of piyutim. So I ask myself, what's Tutsi Agatz Yom Kippur? Well, they do a whole Yom Kippur. That's all we do is say piyutim. What do they do? All day. They don't have piyutim. The most beautiful piyutim that we have, such as, tell me the beautiful piyutim that you know when it's sound a tekef. Number one. Number two, the Kel Oresh did. Number three, Oichid Biyabina Savishpa. Number four, no, what's with you? They have a few piyutim, Rabbi Naledi, Ibn Ezra, Rambam. They don't compare in beauty and sensitivity and power and charisma to our piyutim. The most beautiful Masa Ashkenazi Masa. I don't know, I heard from the law. Let me say one last thing and then you both speak, okay? So, I cannot imagine Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without piyutim. What would I do without piyutim? I'd be lost.
When does Rosh Hashanah say the piyutim? It's in the tefillah.
Yes. Ho aderes ve'emuno lechai oylomim habino ve'abrocho lecha yoylamim hagaivo vihagdulo lecha yoylamim adibor, etc., etc. So, piyutim, that's what it's all about. I grew up from 5 years old on piyutim. Imru Elokim, Kel Melech Be'Olamo, Mechish Pidus Amo, La 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 Imru Elokim. Now you know why my shul takes so long. Why there's no break in my shul? Why the balabatim are?
It's a break.
I-N-F-U-R-I-A-T-E-D with the rub of my shul.
There's no break.
How long will Chazar Sashatz last without piyute, without Imru Elokim, without Melech Elyon, without Adar Samuna, without those beautiful, gorgeous, exalted words, which reflect to Sayyam? Whoever studies piyutim, you know what you'll see in the piyutim? Shas Babli, Shas Yerushalmi, and all the Midrashi Chazal. Of course, you have to study Shas Babli, Yerushalmi, and all the Midrashi Chazal in order to see that in the piyutim. Otherwise, you won't see anything. So the Sichas also introduced piyutim. And, okay, go ahead. He's asking, why am I so makbid on Nusach? Aiden is asking.
Why is
it 6 hours? Oh, boy. About 6 days of Shiur. But it's not going to help.